Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show second hour is underway now. My name is Rob Brown. My man DJ Tim back at the Radio Ranch, punching up the buttons, switching up the switches. Great to have you on the broadcast. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 844-477-3776 is the way to go to be a part of the program. You can also tweet me at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show. You can email me if you got something a little more long format, don't want to come on the air with it. You can email me, Rob Brown at ESPNUpstate.com, Rob Brown at ESPNUpstate.com. Just so you know, there are two B's in the middle, at R-O-B-B-R-O-W-N. I've had somebody apparently had some emails kicked back to them because they were just putting the one B, R-O-B-R-O-W-N. Nope, two Bs there, R-O-B-B-R-O-W-N at ESPNUpstate.com. And, of course, you can jump on our Discord server if you'd like. We do have a Discord server for the show, which I will be revamping here over the next couple of days, hopefully getting that a little bit more active, where you can talk with me and other listeners of the ESPN Upstate audience throughout the show and throughout the day. If you'd like to join our Discord server, just shoot me a text to 71307 that says ESPN password, and I will be more than happy to send you a link to join our Discord server where you can chat with me and other members of the Upstate. One of the things that I have learned about that over the past couple of days, as your boy is a millennial but not a very good one, is that Discord has a feature where we can actually host voice channels. So I will actually start doing at some point over weekends and whatnot, I'll actually be doing vocal meet and greets on the Discord channel where we'll actually be able to talk mano-a-mano, person-to-person, about the things going on in the sports world. And, of course, we also have our non-sports shenanigans channel there as well. And so if you'd like to talk about things that are not sports related, whether it's the pandemic, the social protest, or food, which for whatever reason, food seems to be the number one topic of conversation on the Discord channel, then now is your opportunity. All you got to do is send me a text to 71307 that says ESPN password, and I will happily send you a link where you can join our Discord server. All right. We have seen some large names over the past couple of days decide that they are bailing out of their sports particular returns. Over in Major League Baseball, we now know that we are going to be playing with at least Diamondbacks righty Mike Leake, Rockies outfielder Ian Desmond, and defending national champions Joe Ross and Ryan Zimmerman. They have become the first baseball players to say that they are opting out of this season. Phillies GM Matt Klentak revealed to reporters that a, quote, handful, end quote, of his players will begin summer training on the COVID-19 list. That's basically a list for those who have tested positive or been in contact with those who have tested positive that are still with the team but are separated due to a quarantine. Mets general manager Brody Van Wagenen said one of his 40-man roster players might also begin on the list, and there is, of course, the potential for more. The Minnesota Twins are keeping not one but two of their top coaches deemed high risk away from games this year. They will not be working with the Twins during the 2020 season. So I think we're at the point now, and Tim, I'll throw this at you. We have seen DeAndre Jordan, Spencer Dinwiddie for the Nets, along with a handful of other players in the NBA, say that they are out for the restart, which is going to dramatically impact the odds that those teams and the teams in direct competition with them will be able to succeed to get into the playoffs and then succeed within the playoffs. This, for now, seems to be our new normal. This is just going to be a part of it, right? Team sports, we are going to, at least until we have a vaccine and herd immunity from coronavirus, we are going to see these teams that are going to be missing players, and it is going to have an impact on the way that the sports get played, on the way that the sports turn out. Does that, Tim, at all change the way that you feel about sports? Are you less excited? Are you more excited? Is it changing the way that you are going to be approaching sports when they start up over the next month?
For me, not at all. I just want it back, man. I'm excited. I cannot wait for the end of July. Shoot, I can't wait for July 9th for MLS to return, I'm ready for it to come back. It won't change my opinion about the sport. It won't change my opinion about the athletes. They have a right to not play, to sit out. It won't affect my opinion of them in a bad way, and it won't change the opinion of the sport. I just want it back, man. I don't think the quality of it will drop. I just want it back, and I'm whatever that takes. I respect the players that don't want to play, but at the same time, I just want it back. And whoever's out there playing, I will be watching.
I agree with you. I do want it back. And I'm going to watch, even if MLB is 50% replacement players, I am still going to be watching every game that gets played in every sport that plays them. I will tell you one mentality shift that I have had, one different approach that I have, and it is this. One thing that is keeping me intrigued, one thing that I will be really interested by, I think that managers and coaches this year, are going to have a much inflated importance over different years. I mean, obviously, coaches and managers have a major impact on every game, every time a game gets played, whether it's Dabo Swinney or Nick Saban, whether it is Matt Rhule, it doesn't matter what sport, the coaches and managers in question obviously have a large influence on the games themselves, but I think that the best managers, the best coaches are about to start getting themselves, they're going to start getting themselves an added importance, right? Because if you're the DC Nationals and you're going out there trying to repeat as World Series champions, you now have to do so without two of your best players returning to your squad. You now have to fill in those gaps, and whatever gaps are created by moving players around in order to fill the loss of Ryan Zimmerman and whatever players elect to sit out. And I think that's going to be true moving forward, because here's the thing. When the NBA and Major League Baseball start up at the end of this month, we are, well, I guess technically the end of next month, but we are a month to the day away from the beginning of the National Basketball Association return. We are 28 days away from the start of the Major League Baseball season. We're within a month away. And I think it's pretty safe to say that we're not going to have a vaccine laid out in front of us between now and a month from now, right? I mean, Dr. Anthony Fauci said that he's optimistic that we'll have a vaccine sometime by the end of the year. But it does not appear, obviously, that we'll have one this month. And what that means is that there are going to be positive tests that are going to flare up during the season. You can be as careful as you want to be. At the end of the day, when you have that many people gathering that many times in that large of an environment, you are going to have positive tests, which means that managers are not only going to have to become phenomenal in-game managers, but they're going to have to be phenomenal roster managers, personnel managers, decision makers when it comes to working around guys who get these positive tests or guys who would like not to show up. I mean, think about this. If you're the Atlanta Braves and you have one player test positive, and let's say that realistically that player infects three other Braves players, right? The average rate of infection per the CDC is that if you become a carrier of COVID-19, you are going to infect, I believe I read the number, as around 2.65 people per person carrying. So if you get it, likely before you even know you have it, you will impact 2.65, or infect, I should say, 2.65 other persons with that disease. And so if you have, let's say, three or four players that test positive for the Braves, it would not be unreasonable, I don't think, for a couple of players, let's say all of whom are fathers of very new children, right? And most MLB players are in the age range that it is, you could expect at least a small handful of them to have small children. What if four or five other players on top of the two or three that are sick decide, you know what, it's just not worth the risk midseason, and they bail? Well, now there is an added importance on the manager to understand who's out, to understand how that impacts his roster, to understand how that impacts his lineup, to understand how that impacts his defensive rotation. In football, same situation, right? What happens if a guy like Tom Brady for Tampa Bay gets the coronavirus? Well, now, if you're Bruce Arians down there in Tampa, not only do you have to be prepared to work that offense without Tom Brady at the helm, but you have to be prepared to coach a backup quarterback into taking that spot, likely for upwards of 3 weeks, right? You're talking the two-week quarantine plus another few days after that to make sure a negative test come back, plus another couple of days after that to get back into game shape. I'm going to tell you the one thing, if there is any, the one thing that I am excited about seeing with the return to sports from the coronavirus is the added impact, the added importance of a good manager or a good coach on a team when the coronavirus positive tests pop up. Because I don't think it's a matter of if per team. I think it's a matter of when. Breaking news right now that the New Orleans Pelicans, as again, they are now 3 weeks away and some change from starting their season back up in Orlando. They are only 3.5 games out of the eighth seed in the West. As of right now, they are in the play-in series for that eighth seed. Three positive tests. Let's say that these three positive tests had popped up a week before the bubble started, so that they had to go into the two-week quarantine plus the extra week and a half to get back into playing shape. If you're Alvin Gentry with the Pelicans, and you now have to build the team that is already built around Zion, you now have to figure out how to work that team to buy yourself some time to make it in the playoffs and return those players healthy to your lineup. The importance of being able to manage that team has just skyrocketed. If you were a team that invested heavily in the past few years into a coach who is a good coach, who is a good roster manager, is a good personnel manager, that might pay off for you in the age of COVID. 844-477-3776, 844-477-3776. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back here in just a minute and keep rocking with the show. You are listening to The Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio, 97.7 FM, 97.1 FM, and all around the world on your smart speaker. Just tell Alexa, hey, Alexa, play ESPN Upstate, and she'll say, boom, playing ESPN Upstate from radio.com. And there you go. Away you go. You listen to The Rob Brown Show. You listen to Offsides with Mark Ryan. You listen to them both anywhere that you have an internet connection. You can also check us out on the radio.com app. Just get the app for your phone, or you can go to radio.com/ESPN Upstate/listen. Push that big old fat purple play button, and you will get your daily dose of ESPN Upstate right there in your ear hole. All right, checking in on Twitter. Saw just a minute ago that Eric Ingles, who is a writer for Sportsnet and covers the Montreal Canadiens for a number of different outlets up in Canada, has said on Twitter, and I quote, "Over the last 2 days, I've been speaking with players from around the NHL who are quite concerned about a return to play. I'm going to paraphrase some of those sentiments over a few tweets here. I want to stress every player I spoke with requested anonymity for obvious reasons. One player said a majority of the players do not want to return to play this summer. Estimated 75%. They are concerned with financial pitfalls of that decision. They're more concerned about risking and contracting the virus or serious injury before cramming in the 2021 season. Another player said that calls with the NHLPA have been a joke and that they have only revolved around the financial situation. Another player shared the following opinion after acknowledging that players will likely vote yes to the eventual proposal that gets brought to them. The text says, everyone's going to play. No one is going to opt out. Playoff bonus will be higher than ever. That's free money if we play. Hockey is a different culture than other sports. No one is opting out. Ingles goes on to say that all players I spoke with are frustrated about how being kept largely in the dark about how they'll safely be able to resume play. Now, What's kind of interesting about the NHL setup to me is that they were one of the first major leagues to go ahead and say, we are going to play, we're going to resume the season. They picked their dates, but outside of the concept of hub cities, two hub cities, one for the East, one for the West, the NHL has remained largely silent about how they are going to resume play. Now, they are going to jump straight into the playoffs, so their regular season is officially concluded. But they've elected to jump straight back into the playoffs and get going at the end of July, as will the other sports. But like we mentioned, what I find very interesting about this is just how quiet the NHL seems to be right this second about the plans to return to play. And it doesn't just seem like the NHL is keeping its fans in the dark. It seems like it's keeping its players in the dark too, right? What you will notice about the major sports that have announced their return, I'm using the major sports here, being NASCAR, baseball, hockey, and basketball, right? And we could throw the MLS in there, but I don't want to label them a major sport just yet, though I think in 5 to 10 years they will be looked at that way. NASCAR, baseball, hockey, and basketball. With hockey, their players have been left largely on the dark, and therefore so have we, because traditionally, when these types of return negotiations are ongoing, what you are seeing and what you are hearing is a very, very large contingent of or source of information being the players themselves. Every time that there was a negotiation, a change in structure, a change in format, traditionally we were getting that back from the players. It was the players who were putting that information out there for all of us to digest, right? With the NBA, it was the same way. Those negotiations, they were a little more private than a lot of us would have necessarily liked, but what we were getting was a lot of discussion about the negotiations between the NFLPA, or excuse me, the NBAPA and the NBA that were taking place in the light because the players were very involved with what's going on. Chris Paul, as kind of the voice of the players, had himself a seat at the actual negotiating table, and it was a seat that he was then utilizing to spread information back to the players and to the public. Obviously, NASCAR doesn't really have the same negotiating situation that the NBA does, that MLB does, but they were very open about what they were doing, about the protocols they were putting in place, that the drivers were agreeing to, etc. The two sports that have done the best job at keeping their negotiations quiet, silent, and in the dark, baseball and hockey, are also the two sports that have the most frustration between them and their fans, right? And the most damage is being done between them and their fans. It is showing you that when the businesses themselves are being open with the fans, when the businesses themselves are actually having clear, concise communication between the players' union and the league itself, and when the league and the players are having that communication that is opening itself up to the public, then that goodwill continues to be built and success is there. The difference is that baseball has a large enough and historical enough fan base that I think they have a little more room for error in terms of not being open with the fans, right? They have a little more room to wiggle in terms of creating the opposite of goodwill with the fans, what the fans will stick around for. Hockey doesn't have that, right? Especially in southern markets, Tampa, Carolina, down in Florida. When you've got even Nashville to some degree, although with Nashville is kind of a very unique case study here. When you have got the goodwill built up, that southern hockey built up over the past couple of years, with Nashville being good, with Tampa being good for a few years, with Carolina trying to climb into that upper echelon of teams over the past few years, that goodwill is far more at risk than it is for, say, baseball, which means to me that the NHL is making a major mistake by keeping their players in the dark to their return format, by keeping their players in the dark, which means that the players keep us in the dark as to their return format. And I know that there's not as many NHL fans here as there are baseball and certainly as there are football fans, but that's kind of the point, right? This area, building on the popularity of the local hockey club, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, which again, their new head coach, Andrew Lord, will join us on the broadcast Thursday at 1:20 p.m. So if you're a Swamp Rabbits fan, your new head coach will be making his ESPN Upstate and Upstate Radio debut on Thursday at 1:20 to talk a little Swamp Rabbits hockey with us. The hockey market here in the Carolinas, I think, could be a good one. You have got a team that represents the area. Granted, they're a little further north than I wish. I do wish that they were in Charlotte instead of further north in North Carolina. But they wear the brand of the Carolina Hurricanes across their chest. Just down the road, well, we got 5 hours from here, you've got the Nashville Predators. That is a team that has embraced Southern culture. I've always said that the reason Nashville is successful and other Southern hockey teams are not is because with a lot of other Southern hockey teams, you have hockey clubs that come down and say, we are going to bring the hockey culture to the South and have the South embrace us. Whereas the Nashville Predators have done the exact opposite. They showed up, they embraced the Southern culture, that college sports theatrics culture, and then said, we are going to wrap hockey around that. They have done so. It has worked very well. Things are on the up and up for Nashville. And that shows me that that same model could be successful anywhere in the South for hockey. But that goodwill has to be built up between hockey and that culture. And by keeping their players in the dark to the point that 75% of their 75%, if Engelman is correct, 75% of players don't want to play or aren't comfortable playing because they don't have a plan laid out in front of them yet. That destroys that goodwill. And to me, that is very, very bad news for hockey. 844-477-3776, 844-477-3776. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, speaking of sports and culture, we are continuing to see the ramifications of the power of sports developing throughout the country. A couple of stories where athletes have had major impact in change in their communities. We will talk about that when we come back in a minute. My name is Rob Brown. My man DJ Tim is on the ones and twos. Stick around. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio, ESPN Upstate WYRD. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Glad to have you as a part of the show. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. You can also text me at 71307. Start your text with ESPN. Tweet me at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show on Twitter. And, of course, you can email me, robbrown at espnupstate.com if you got something that is a little more long format and you don't want to come on the air to talk about it. So we have talked a couple of different times about the fact that athletes, specifically college athletes, honestly, you know, NBA, NFL, MLB players, pro players, they obviously have a lot of power within their communities specifically, right? They have a lot of power, the ability to go make change within their specific towns. I have watched as professional athletes are able to enact legislative change in local communities around the country on a state-by-state basis. But traditionally, college players really haven't had that much ability to enact social change. And we haven't talked about it yet, but something that just happened in the great state of Mississippi, which, again, I love Mississippi. It is a beautiful, beautiful state. Some of the most beautiful Gulf Coast scenery in the country is found right along the coast of the Gulf in Mississippi, whether it's Gulf Shores, Biloxi, Ocean Springs, all those areas down there. If you were looking to get out on the beach a little bit, and here's a little inside trading information from your Gulf Coast buddy Rob Brown, if you're looking for a vacation and you want to go to the beach, but not somewhere that's crazy expensive and not somewhere that's jammed up, packed like a Panama City or a Destin, try the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. Try Biloxi, Ocean Springs, any of those areas right along the coast, because the beach is just as beautiful. It's much less expensive and it's much less crowded, right? Anyway, the state of Mississippi has for years had a large contingent of people who have been requesting that the state flag be changed. Obviously, the state flag up in its upper left corner displays what is commonly known as the Confederate battle flag. That movement has a number of times over the past handful of years gotten a lot of momentum, gotten very close to changing, but the trigger just never got pulled on it, right? They would get right up to it, and then when it got to the state legislature, it would get shot down repeatedly. But now it's happened. Now, both chambers of Mississippi's legislative body have voted to take down the state flag. They made that vote on Sunday. While it took years of grassroots efforts and activism to try to get that to happen, that never got it done. It was sports that had the state of Mississippi turn the corner on that issue. A number of players, after Kylin Hill, running back from Mississippi State, said, if the flag's not changed, I will not be playing for the Bulldogs this season. Kylin Hill is going to be a major player for the Mississippi State Bulldogs this year, who likely are an outside shot at the SEC West, but they have, over the past couple of years, gotten very good at playing the role of spoiler. They always seem to have a game or two somewhere in that season that heavily and dramatically impacts the way that the race for the SEC West turns out. So Kylin Hill says, I am not playing if that has happened. If they don't get that flag down, I will not be playing for Mississippi State. Then the Southeastern Conference as a whole, the entire conference, stepped in and said, you know what? We got our players back. We got Kylin Hill's back. If that flag remains flying over the state of Mississippi, then Mississippi will not host any SEC championship matchups. No postseason events will take place in that state until the flag is changed or taken down. Then the NCAA, as a entity, stepped in and said, we agree with that. No postseason events will take place in the state of Mississippi until that flag is changed. They issued their condemnation of the flag, and it went on from there. After that, you started having players from multiple college football teams, which does not have, by the way, the state of Mississippi, not a pro team in the state. So it's all college sports there in the great state of Mississippi. You had other college athletes from other schools start to step up. Then you had on Thursday of last week, not one, not two, not a dozen, not a baker's dozen, not two dozen, 46 college coaches from 8 different state universities make their way to the capital of Mississippi, to the Capitol building itself, and give passionate speeches about the importance of changing that flag. Ole Miss basketball coach Kermit Davis, Mississippi State women's basketball coach Nikki McRae-Penson both spoke up and gave speeches. Both of them spoke from their experiences. Kermit Davis is a born and raised Mississippian. McRae-Penson is a newcomer and outsider who is an African-American who moved there from another part of the South. They were joined by other players, and 10 days after the SEC's announcement, 9 days after the NCAA's announcement, 6 days after Kylin Hill's tweet, and 3 days after nearly every prominent athletics employee in the state visited the Capitol, Mississippi made the change to take down that flag. It went so far as Mississippi Congresswoman Omaria Scott, who represents District 80 in the House of Representatives there in Mississippi, in the Magnolia State, suggested naming the flag legislation after Kylin Hill, saying, quote, "The voice of this young man was a tremendous voice," end quote. Now, the motion got tabled to rename it, but the vote did go up and the flag came down. And that was a huge moment in the history of state of Mississippi, and it was all spurred on by athletes. I have told you guys that as we in 2020 begin to embrace the new normal of life in America after 2020, which is dealing with this pandemic, yes, our normal is going to change until we have a vaccine and until we have herd immunity and we can slightly go back to normal. But one of the other things that is your new normal, and I've told you this, and this is that, look, I don't necessarily love saying this because this could be bad for me in my career, okay? Anytime I talk about sports and culture, keep in mind that this goes into my career. My career hinges on this. But I have said, and I will continue to say, the people who demand the stick to sports motif, the people that say politics and sports should exist in two separate bubbles independently of each other, you now get to recognize that that is not the new normal anymore. That is not going to be the case anymore. Sports is an enormous platform. Sports is a huge platform. And now, sports has found its voice to the point that a decades-old fight that has been taking place in the state of Mississippi changed in less than 2 weeks because football players, the Southeastern Conference, and the NCAA all decided to throw their weight behind that fight. Quick break. We'll come back here in just a minute and continue this discussion and plenty more. 844-477-3776. It is the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. All right, let's get on with it. Wrapping up the second hour of the show and heading towards the home stretch of the Rob Brown Show. I am Rob Brown. My man Tim back in the network studio pushing the buttons and switching the switches if you'd like to get on board. So, look, we wonder what silent games are going to be like for the National Football League, for the NBA, for Major League Baseball. We wonder what those games are going to be like without fans in attendance. Well, now, after a couple of weeks, we have had a professional sporting league across the pond that has given us a little bit of an insight. And now, some of the players are starting to talk a little bit about what playing those games in silence has been like. The Premier League of 2020, the split in the two coronavirus-impacted seasons. You had the first half of the season, three quarters, almost 90% of the season, where fans were allowed. And now the back half, as Liverpool has clinched their first league title in 30 years, provided a bit of a snapshot of what it felt like when you had match day spectacles traditionally that have been played without the passion, without the chanting and the drums and the flares and the noise and the chants from the sidelines. Most clubs have opted to go through the pomp and pageantry of their pre-match buildup with the big screen action shots, the deafening soundtrack ringing across empty seats. They have decided to play audio across the stadium and certainly over the television broadcast. Now, Tim, you and I have watched a lot of Premier League. You and I have watched a lot of Bundesliga over the last couple of weeks since soccer has kind of been our competitive outlet, if you will. Let me ask you, I don't know how many games, because obviously I know you've been watching them primarily when we're on the air together. Have you watched the games with empty stands, but with still crowd noise being piped in with the Zoom images? Because one of the things that I actually have liked is some of the teams have erected these big LED boards behind the goals and around the sides of the field. And they are basically zooming in fans and actually putting the fans' faces up there so that players can see that there are people watching. What has your opinion been on these games that have been played with either no fans or with virtual fans in the stands?
See, I like the virtual part of it. You get the LED thing, and I wonder if they have the fans have to pay to be behind the goal like that. Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know. I suspect the clubs probably just kind of picked randomly. You know, I'm sure that they probably had you enter some sort of contest or something. I'm not 100% sure. I know that the Giants of Major League Baseball, for instance, are doing a deal where for like $100, they will print out a cardboard cutout of you and place it in your or close to your season ticket if you are a season ticket holder.
I heard about that.
But I do not know how the Premier League did theirs.
Yeah, well, in that case, like I really do like it. I think it's pretty cool that the players get to kind of see the fans. Okay, yeah, they're not going away. They are watching at home, and it's just I think it's just cool to have that there. And now, to your point on the Giants thing, I heard about that. What an utterly ridiculous thing to do. I mean, I am not going to spend $100 just so you could put a cardboard thing cut out of me in the stadium. I'm sorry.
You know, I have heard people for and against it, right? I've heard a lot of people saying they think it's a really cool idea. It'll add some character to the broadcast. And on top of that, if you are one of the lucky ones, it would kind of be a cool screenshot if you could get your cardboard cut out on an ESPN broadcast. I mean, you know, look, a lot of people's Twitter avatars are about to change to a cardboard version of themselves inside of a baseball stadium. Me, I'd take that $100 and I'd upgrade my television home entertainment system, to tell you the truth. Like, you know, $100, two seats and $100 will buy me a nice new surround audio system to hang a couple of speakers behind my couch where I could have surround sound in my living room, right? Like, that's a much better use of that money as far as I am concerned.
Oh, hands down.
Now, that being said, the one thing that I think none of us have really talked about, or at least not extensively and not at length, is the way that this has impacted the players themselves, right? Like, what's it like for the players themselves? And a lot of the Premier League players have gone on the record and said that it is different, but you get used to it very quickly. Olivia Giroux for Chelsea said, it doesn't have the same feeling. It really is strange at first, and then you try to get used to it. It has less charm to play with no fans. Also, the pitch feels much bigger with no fans in the stadium. It's crazy to say because it's the same pitch, but it does feel bigger. The bearings and points of reference are not the same. At least the managers are happy because now we can hear easily everything they tell us, even when they don't shout, end quote. And a lot of other players have come out and said, look, at the end of the day, it's odd for a half, it's odd for a match, but then you just kind of get used to the point where you really don't even think about it anymore. It just kind of goes by the wayside. So the more that we go on with time, to me, the less it feels as if this will have a major impact on competition, right? Like, I do think that it will for the points I've made in the past, which are, you know, think about Zion Williamson grabbing a rebound off the rim and then sticking back a two-hand tomahawk over three defenders for the Memphis Grizzlies as the Pelicans are trying to earn a playoff spot. If that happens in front of 17,500 people in the Smoothie King Arena there in New Orleans and the roof comes off that place, it may inspire Zion and give the Pels a little bit of momentum. If it happens in an empty Disney All-Star court down in Orlando, then Zion may or may not have the same reaction to that. Now, I'm happy for a team if I got a young team like the New Orleans Pelicans, I'm happy. I want them to grow and learn how to be consistent regardless of the friendly or hostile nature of the fans that are around them. But if I'm an older team, like an LA Lakers with LeBron, who's nearing the end of his career, I think I'm far more interested in having a friendly fan base, a bandwagon fan base that is going to continuously help me build that energy and that momentum. But one thing apparently from the Premier League is that, look, it takes some getting used to. Mistakes are going to be made. You take for granted how much impact the friendly stands can have on disrupting communication of the opposing team as they try to pass the ball around the pitch, etc. But it appears that, according to the athletes in Europe, playing in the Bundesliga, playing in the Premier League, that maybe it doesn't have quite the same impact, quite the negative impact that we all thought that it might. 1 hour left of the Rob Brown Show comes up next on ESPN Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.